Welcome back to Podcast Radio. I'm Andy.
I'm Joe.
And you want to talk about something that we're all going to do one day?
No, that's...
You're not ever going
to? No, I don't want to. No. I'm going to go with
you. You're going to live forever. Isn't that weird that one day you'll be dead?
No, I don't want to die. That's weird. But yeah, you are going to die. I right now, it's not... Some people will tell you, like, you hear people say, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to go. No, you're not.
Yeah, no.
Who wants to die? I mean, just sit there and say, yeah, I'm 40 years old. I've lived a good life. No.
Yeah, no, that's dumb.
No, I don't want to die.
And then when you get to be like 50 years old, you got less years. Like you've lived most of your life.
Yeah, that's true. You're past the halfway point.
Mm-hmm. It's almost over.
Oh man, that's sad because I'm turning 50 this year.
Like all your like youthful years where you had the energy to do stuff and travel, and
I'm gonna hang on to
it's
that.
All waning.
I'm gonna embrace it.
It's all the way.
I don't want to. I got to thinking about it. Maybe about a month ago. So many different religions, cultures. We look at death kind of different. We have our own version of what we expect, what we're taught. I know that someone has emailed us and asked us to talk about kind of the latter part of this subject of a burial and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to touch on that later, but maybe start with this one, saying how all these different religions, cultures, whatever, view death. You know, and I started kind of researching stuff, but you got to be very careful how you research death because it flags a lot of suicide stuff.
Oh, like so, it wants you to kill yourself. It's trying to get you to kill yourself.
Well, they start saying suicide hotlines. Are you okay?
Oh,
are
I
you,
see.
You know, that type of thing.
I thought the AI was like trying to get you to.
No, that'd be our government. that's Social Security for that fool.
Yeah.
And I'll wipe him out. But, you know, I don't know how what you were told or how you were raised or brought up about death or how funerals were for you. If it was a scary subject or were as kids were y'all taking the funerals.
Mm-hmm.
What were you told? Like, oh, you know, that's Aunt so and so or Uncle so and so. You know, where are they at? You know, how do you explain that? I remember the very first deceased person I saw was my uncle who was killed. And back then, the I guess they call it the wake or the the service, whatnot.
Well, you mean is that where everybody gets together and eats and stuff afterwards? And
but before.
Oh, before, okay.
And the body was in the house.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was like...
Open casket?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's weird. So I could never see my grandma's house the same. It was like, ugh, you know.
Yeah, like they did it in the house back then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and not to talk about the other subject so much in there, but I remember later on asking, where is he? And of course, you hear the person who's presiding over the service or whatnot saying they're in a better place. Okay, I get all that. But how do we know that? We don't know. But like, how does that happen? What's death like? Bible says, you know, basically you're... Talks about your last breath here is your first one over there. It's like a, you know, you're over. But then you have people who are dead clinically for like a minute or two and they didn't say anything. Like, what's death like? What were you told as a kid?
Oh, you mean, just about heaven.
Death.
You just die. You either go to heaven or hell, you know? No holding place or anything like that.
That just simplistic like that?
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
What that meant, did that scare you any?
No, because I don't think I really thought about it that much when I was little, you know, because you're going to live forever.
Right.
And when you're that age, you're just like, oh, okay, this mummy in this coffin here. I'll never be that old.
Right, right.
It's like they just went to Egypt or something.
So then you were told either having it, but the process, did you ever hear any stories about, you know, I've talked to people who said they've had near-death experiences, and I thought, describe one. Because, I thought I had a near-death experience when I got real ill some years back, and I thought that's what I was having. But then I got to thinking, was it? Is there more? I mean, I bet there's some cultures that, you know, they do the whole coin in the eye thing and whatnot, but the actual concept of just living starts at conception. You know, it's got a soul, the unborn child, but where does that soul just, do you think, just wake up one or the other at that point, at death?
Oh yeah. You just wake up in one place or the other. Don't you think that? Well, I mean, why are you asking that question? You seem like you aren't sure about that.
I don't know. I wonder if there's more to it.
Like, where else would you go?
I know, right?
There's a third location?
It's not, man. I'm just kind of wondering, like, not so much like a 33rd location.
Yeah, really.
I don't know so much about another location, but a process. So I was told a story here recently that someone was dying, and it was the daughter, and the mother was in a senior citizen home, and the senior citizen, the elderly person, went, got the nurse and said, my daughter just came by to tell me that she's okay, but she didn't. She was at her house and had passed away. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, everything probably can happen in 1 second. You know what I mean? As you're going away, I would just imagine, I'll explain it to myself as like I'm writing a story, that you would, you know, a lot of people see themselves, you know, as they're, when they die, they're above themselves or whatever.
Yeah. Like, so, an outer body?
Yeah. Okay. So you could be, I mean, really, this little bit of creation probably isn't that big, you know, compared to what's after. So I would just say, as she's going up, she's says goodbye to her mom. It doesn't mean like she went, I'm flying down there, zoom, hey mom, bye. No, but she sees her too.
But she was not in the same place. I mean, this is, they're
they're far away, you know.
So she made a pit stop.
She could be in, she dies in Texas, and she says goodbye to her as she departs, and her mom lives in Alaska.
Because the daughter that passed had a, they call it the widowmaker, a massive heart attack, and then the her mother was in a senior citizen home, assisted living facility, and that's when she said, she came and said she was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, the process to it, there's got to be more than just...
But it's like that. All that happened.
So, okay, so do you think some people who say they see things and whatnot, could that be somebody making their pit stop to come say, hey, see ya?
Well, I mean, I don't even think it's a pit stop. I think it's just like a...
I just coined it that because it's
like, so fast.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could say goodbye to 10 people in a millisecond.
Would
when
that
you're
be
in that, like my brother, one of my brothers thinks that possibly when we die, we're all going to get to heaven at the same time. So someone who died 100 years ago is going to get to heaven the same time that I die, because space and time are not what we think they are. It's totally different. So he's like, maybe everybody gets to heaven at the same time.
Where are they at in that 100-year time, though?
No, I'm saying like that time really isn't.
Okay.
It's not, doesn't, we think of time totally different than probably it really is. You know, that's just something for our physical bodies, but our spiritual bodies are in a different dimension. And then also they wouldn't adhere to the same rules as this physical body that we have.
Okay. So I'm going to stop you right there for a second. I want to hear more of that one. So then, to me, I've told you before, I wanted to talk about time one day, but it's the one subject that fascinates me the most, but confuses me the most. Like, I can't wrap my head around that. As much as I'm going like, I don't get it.
Yeah, neither do I.
And I wish I could.
But it makes sense to me, even though I don't understand it. Just like one of my friends is like, basically you're like a grain of sand in a earth. The whole earth is made of sand. So if you can imagine that. And you're just one little grain of sand. And so I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And I would say, and then my grain of sand, I don't even, the capacity to understand my whole grain of sand, I can't even, I'm here maybe 100 years, 80 years, 90 years. I don't even fill up that grain of sand with the amount of knowledge that that sand could hold. And that's just one baby grain of sand. So how much more do you not know and not understand?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Because you're so little compared, you're so small compared to God, to the Creator, and He's infinite. And when you die, you're going to learn about Him for all eternity. Like, He's never going to run out of things to teach you about Himself. That's how it, that's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You'll never stop learning. You will never understand them. So I'm like, if we never understand them now, and then we get to heaven, and we're never going to fully understand him because he's like an infinite being, and he created us, then things like this, you can only understand just a part of your grain of sand, not even all of your grain of sand of knowledge.
I was told one time, I said, how long is eternity? I couldn't wrap my head around eternity. And I had one of the counselors at the school, he gave our devotions. He said, imagine the hardest, the toughest, hardest rock, metal, whatever it is, there is on earth, whatever it is, granite, whatever you want to call it, the hardest substance there is. And imagine it being the tallest mountain in the world made of just solid that. And every day, this is his analogy, a bird with the tissue would fly over the very top of that until that bird got it down at ground level by scraping it down. That's how long eternity is. I was like, dang. And then he finishes it with this. That's how long you'll be in hell. I'm like, whoa, that took a turn. Like, dang, it's just scary.
Yeah, just however, whatever a long amount of time is that you can think of, that's not even a millisecond. You know what I mean? And then you can 10 times that, 100 times that, 1,000 times that, and it's even less time than that.
So then
it's like the longer you go, the less time it actually is. So, because it's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, never, never stops.
So do you think once you are dead, do you, can you look up or down at anything? Or do you think you're already in the middle of either heaven or hell and you're just, hey, I'm good. Whew, made it, you know? As some people think, and I don't want to get into the, whether it's a religious side or a culture side or what, whatever, but the actual part of death, it's so broad, but it's put into like a small bottle by saying, yep, this is it. This is you, you're dead or you're alive. Mm-hmm. But I think like your brother said, there's that time thing. Who's to say there's not longer time between that last breath to the next breath? Do you think that might be?
Well, I mean, I don't even think it's I don't even know if I call it a time thing.
Really?
Yeah, like I don't even think time is a thing after we die. Space and time, I think those are not, that would be like a kindergarten's understanding of those subjects. You know what I mean?
That'd be me.
That's what we have compared to what's waiting for us.
True. Okay. That makes sense. So are you afraid to die?
No. I mean, I don't want to die. You're always scared to do something that you've never done before, you know what I mean? Or there's some kind of anxiety to it.
Well, you're only gonna do it once.
Yeah, I know, but you're gonna do it. It's like, so I mean, there is, you know, I know some people are like, yeah, I just don't have I'm ready to go. I don't have any time. I'm like, no, I have never done it before. So, of course, there'd be an anxiety. And yeah. especially like when it happens and then are you going first or second, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, but no, I would have some kind of, wait a second. Are we sure it's my time? You know what I mean? I'm not like super comfortable like some of these super religious people are that think, you know, they can go and there's no anxiety. That's what I would call it. Anxiety, not doubt to where you're going, but still.
Okay.
It's scary.
What gets me is in the movies when people say, see you in hell. Oh, don't say that.
Yeah, I know.
That's scary. Why would you say that? That's horrible. No, I'm not. You're not going to see me in hell, buddy. Nope. But what's weird, what scares me about dying is being put in a hole or in a casket.
No.
I don't know why that scares me.
But you don't even know.
That's what people tell me, but it's like in my head.
And you think you're going in a casket. They're probably just going to cremate you because it's cheaper.
Yeah, you're
right. We'll give you whatever your wishes are. You want this beautiful casket, this oak with the beautiful veneer inside it? Oh, yeah, we're getting you the best, the top of the line.
No, and then I'm going to wake up inside the burner. No.
Yeah, either that or they're just building one out of some pine.
The mortician dude doing this going to be like, I smell cake. They're baking me. I don't know. I get afraid of that. And I think when I see people in a coffin or whatnot, and I think, man, what was their experience like? What was death like for them? Was it peaceful? I sat with a gentleman one time and we were taking turns with him because he was going to pass. And there was another pastor and myself, and he says, hey, why don't you tell Joe the stories about you? And the senior pastor left, and he tells me, he says, hey, he's got his oxygen mask and stuff on him. He says, open that trunk. And I open the trunk, and I pull it out, and it was his outfit from the Grand Wizard KKK back in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, I just kind of dropped it on the bed, and I looked at him, and I was like, is this for real? He goes,
so it was a red one?
Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to burn for that. I killed a lot of people. And I was like, what the heck? And he's like, yeah, I did bad things before I came to Christ. And I didn't know any better. And I just thought that was the right way to do things. And we did a lot of bad things. And I thought, man, and he didn't like tell me details about stuff, mm-hmm. but you could sense the remorse. But more than anything else, you could see the fear in his eyes as he knew he was dying. Because he knew he didn't want to go to hell. I was like, man, but his going versus someone who's at peace and his family's there with him and everything. Shh, close your eyes, you know. Pillow. Ooh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, death to me, and I'm not fascinated by it more than I think I'm afraid of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you are afraid.
Yeah. Not how I die. That part.
Happens to you after you die?
Like, I mean, yeah, I know that I want to go to heaven and do that. And I mean, of course, but it's just that moment of it. And then the aftermath of just like, man, put me in a box and then put me in the ground.
So you're not afraid of the death. You're afraid of what's going to happen to your body is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's your main thing.
Kind of all of it. A little bit of everything. All summed up in a big pecan shell thing of just death and its whole in entirety. Mm-hmm. Just scares the heck out of me. And I don't know why. Used to younger and you.
Yeah, because you live forever.
Yeah, now it's kind of like, man, you talked about you live longer if you eat PB&J. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm having for dinner. I know, but I'm just saying it's just it's scary to me, very scary, uneasy. I'm like the anxiety of it.
Mm-hmm.
If I stop and think about it too much, I'm useless.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the way lots of people are. But then I think when you get to that stage, you know, if you've lived like a long life and stuff and you know where you're going, I think at the end of it, you're just like, I'm ready to go.
True.
Because I've heard those stories too.
Yeah, you're right.
So now you still have like a lot of things you want to do and you're like all vigorous to, you know, accomplish goals and stuff like that. But then when your body's broken down, you're 90 years old and bedridden, you're like, yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it's better.
How old do you want to live till?
I would like to do, I just be one of the 120s.
I like but that.
I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah, I'm thinking about 110.
But I would want to still be walking around, even if it's with a walker.
Yeah, okay, no, I got you. I don't want to be like in the bed stuck in there. You
know, yeah.
And with issues. Yeah. I want to be out doing
things. Yeah, walking around doing stuff. Like, even if you like go to church, you know, on Sundays and then you sit down in the pew, fall asleep, you know, wake up after the sun. If you could, you know, still go places and
definitely
be with other humans.
Yeah, interacting.
Yeah.
If I break the 100 mark, which I will, I'm going to do anything I want to.
Oh,
it's okay. He's old.
Oh, here we go.
You have that card.
Okay. Well, if you guys have any death related stories you want to share, podcast13@gmail.com or insights to the subject, continue to like, subscribe, and share. Until next time.